Okay, check the calendar. Seriously, go look at it. It's January 30th, 2026. If you're a gamer, your heart rate probably just spiked a little bit because we are day, I mean, literally days away from the release of Grand Theft Auto 6.
The internet is basically vibrating at this point.
It's losing its mind. The hype train has gone completely off the rails, and my bank account is already weeping in anticipation.
It really is the event of the decade. I don't think we've seen this level of just, collective cultural holding of breath since, what, the early 2010s?
Easily. But here's the thing, and this is why we're doing this deep dive today. Beneath all that hype, there's a very real, very palpable layer of panic.
Oh, yeah.
I've been lurking in the forums, reading the subreddits, and people are terrified.
Yeah.
They're looking at the leaked system requirements and realizing their current rigs might just, melt if they try to load Vice City.
And that panic is completely justified. Rockstar is not exactly known for perfect optimization on day one.
Right. And let's be honest, not everyone has $3,000 to drop on some 4K dream machine. Most of us are living in the real world. We have rent, we have bills. So we found this incredible guide, Building the Ultimate Budget GTA 6 PC Build Guide. The mission is simple, but also terrifying. Construct a reality machine.
A reality machine, I like
A
that.
rig for roughly $800 that can
Yeah.
handle this game without, catching fire.
And that's the perfect name for it. We are not building a spaceship here. We're building a survival tool. The goal is to be smart, efficient, and ruthless with the budget.
Ruthless is right. But I have to push back a little right away. $800 in 2026 with inflation.
I know, I
It
know.
sounds like we're building a potato. Are we actually going to get a playable experience, or are we just wasting money on e-waste?
It's a valid skepticism. If you just went to a big box store right now and bought an $800 pre-built, yes, it would be a potato. It would choke on the opening cutscene. But if you build it yourself and you choose the parts based on the specific architecture of the game engine, it's a completely different story.
So we're tailoring this suit specifically for GTA 6.
Exactly. And that starts with what the guide calls the golden rule. On this budget, we are targeting 1080p resolution, period.
Okay.
If you're expecting native 4K for 800 bucks, you're delusional. The guide actually calls trying to run 4K at this price point suicide.
Suicide. Subtle. Okay, so we're accepting 1080p as the battlefield. We aren't fighting for pixel count, we're fighting for frame rate.
Precisely. And to win that fight, you have to understand the enemy. And in this case, the enemy is the Rage 9 engine.
Right, Rockstar's new baby. We know it looks good, but why is it such a hardware killer compared to, say, Red Dead 2 or GTA 5?
It really comes down to two things: fluid physics and smart NPC density.
Okay, break that down.
Well, in previous open world games, the crowd was just set dressing. There were low poly mannequins that just slid around. In Rage 9, every single NPC has its own physics weight, its own AI pathfinding, and it reacts to the environment in real time.
So when I, drive a supercar into a crowded intersection in Vice City.
The computer isn't just rendering a crash, it is calculating the individual suspension physics of 50 different cars, plus the ragdoll physics of 200 pedestrians, plus the AI panic response of the entire crowd. That is math, heavy, complex math.
And that's not the graphics card doing that work, is it?
No, that is pure CPU workload. This is where most budget builds fail completely. They spend all their money on a flashy graphics card, but they pair it with a weak processor. And the result is the GPU is sitting there waiting for frames while the CPU is having a heart attack trying to do the math. You get stuttering, freezing, massive frame drops.
Okay, so the brain needs to be big. This brings us to the first component, and man, I have to be honest, when I saw this in the guide, I laughed out loud.
Let me guess, the CPU.
Yes, they are recommending an Intel Core i3, the i3-15100F.
I knew you'd get hung up on that.
Of course I am. i3 is synonymous with office computer. It's the chip inside the computer at the library. You're telling me to put an entry-level chip in a next-gen gaming rig? My friends are going to roast me.
Let them roast you, and
Oh.
then watch as you get higher frame rates than them. You have to look past the branding. This is the new Arrow Lake architecture. It's a quad-core chip, yes, but those four cores are incredibly fast. We're talking boost clocks up to 4.7 gigahertz.
4.7 is impressive, but it's still only four cores. Isn't gaming moving toward like 8 cores or 12 cores now?
Well, marketing wants you to believe that. But the reality of game engines, even Rage 9, is that they still rely so heavily on single-thread performance. They need one or two cores to be lightning fast to handle the main game logic.
Okay.
And this little $115 chip outperforms the older i5 12400 in pure gaming tests because its individual cores are just faster and smarter.
So it's quality over quantity.
100%. And there's a hidden strategic benefit here too. This chip uses the LGA 1851 socket.
Okay, lay it on me. Why should I care about the shape of the socket?
Because Intel is notorious for changing sockets every 2 years, right? But LGA 1851 is brand new for 2026. If you build on this platform now, you have a guaranteed upgrade path. In 2029, you can rip this i3 out and drop in a used i7 from the 16th or 17th generation without changing your motherboard.
That is actually a huge selling point. You're not painting yourself into a corner.
Not at all.
But what about Team Red? What about AMD? Usually, the Ryzen chips are the budget darlings.
They usually are. And the Ryzen 5 7600 is a fantastic chip, arguably better in multitasking. But right now, it's sitting at around $180.
Ouch. That's a $65 gap.
And in an $800 build, every dollar is a prisoner. Yeah. If we spend that extra $65 on the CPU, we have to take it away from the graphics card. And that is a trade-off we simply cannot afford to make.
Okay, fair enough. The i3 is the scrappy underdog that fits the budget. Let's talk about the heavy hitter then, the graphics card. It's February 2026. What's the weapon of choice?
We are locking in the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 5050, specifically the 8GB model.
The 5050, this just launched, right?
Fresh off the assembly line.
Now, I see a lot of chatter online saying, don't buy the 5050, it's a scam. Just buy a used RTX 3060 or 4060 for cheaper. Why is the guide steering us toward the new card?
That advice is dangerous because it totally ignores the software revolution. The RTX 5050 is built on the Blackwell architecture. That means it has the newest Tensor cores, specifically designed for AI.
And we're talking about DLSS here.
DLSS 4.0, to be specific. Look, native rendering is dead at this price point. You are not going to render GTA 6 natively at 1080p and get 60 frames per second on a budget card. It's just not happening.
So we're faking it.
We are intelligently faking it. The magic trick of the 5050 is that it renders the game internally at something like 720p, which is easy work, and then uses those Blackwell AI cores to upscale it to a crisp 1080p. Plus, DLSS 4.0 includes the newest frame generation technology.
That's where it inserts fake frames in between the real ones to make it look smoother.
Correct. And the 4060 and 3060 just cannot do this as well, or in some cases, at all. With the 5050, you're getting the visual smoothness of a $600 card for a $299 price tag.
But I have to ask about the memory. 8 gigs of VRAM.
Mm.
In 2026, that feels stingy. The AMD alternative, the Radeon RX 9600, has 10 gigs. Why not go for the extra RAM?
It's the classic AMD versus NVIDIA debate. And yes, the Radeon RX 9600 has more raw memory.
Right.
If you were only playing older games without ray tracing, it might even be the better buy. But for GTA 6, NVIDIA wins on two fronts, ray tracing and software.
Is ray tracing even possible on a budget card? I thought that was for the rich kids.
With the 5050, it's actually possible because the AI cores are so efficient. But more importantly, NVIDIA's DLSS is just superior to AMD's FSR upscaling right now. The image quality is cleaner. There's less, you know, shimmering on fine lines like power lines or fences.
I hit that.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
And in a game like GTA, where there are detailed fences and skylines everywhere, you want that image stability.
So we're trading 2 gigs of raw memory for a smarter, cleaner image.
Exactly. We're betting on the AI, not the raw specs.
Right. I'm sold on the GPU. Now let's move to the infrastructure. Memory. System RAM. I feel like for the last 10 years, the advice has been, get 16 gigs, you're fine.
And that advice died the day Windows 12 launched.
Rest in peace.
The guide calls this the 16 GB trap. If you build a PC with 16 gigs of RAM in 2026, you are bottlenecking your entire system. You have to remember, Windows 12 is bloated. It uses about 4 gigs just to exist. Then you have Discord running, maybe a browser tab or two.
And suddenly you have like 8 gigs left for the most demanding game ever made.
Exactly. And when the RAM fills up, the computer starts using your SSD as temporary memory. That's when you get massive stuttering. The requirement for this build is non-negotiable. 32 gigabytes of DDR5 RAM.
Is DDR5 expensive, though? I remember when it first came out, it cost a kidney.
Oh, prices have plummeted. You can get a solid 2x16 gig kit from Team Group or Silicon Power running at 5600 megahertz for about $85.
That is surprisingly reasonable.
It is. It's the best dollar per performance upgrade you can possibly make.
And speaking of storage, I assume we are not using spinning rust. No hard drives allowed.
Absolutely forbidden. If you try to run GTA 6 off an HDD, you'll see textures popping in 5 seconds late. You'll be driving down the street and suddenly a building will just materialize in front of you.
Invisible walls, the classic gamer nightmare.
It's worse than that. Rage 9 uses direct storage. This is a feature where the GPU pulls data directly from the SSD, bypassing the CPU to save time. But this only works if you have a fast NVMe SSD, specifically a Gen 4 drive.
We're Gen 4. Can't we save 10 bucks and get a Gen 3?
You can, but you lose the direct storage certification. Gen 3 is limited to about 3,500 megabytes per second. Gen 4 doubles that. For open-world games where you're flying a jet across the map at 300 miles per hour, the game needs to stream in assets instantly. You need that Gen 4 speed.
Got it. Speed is life. What are we paying for that?
About $65 for a 1 terabyte drive, something like the Crucial P3 Plus.
Okay, so we have the guts. Now we need the skeleton and the power. Motherboard, PSU, case. This is usually where people get upsold,
Oh
right?
yeah, the gamer tax.
They see the motherboard with the dragon painted on it and think it makes the computer faster.
We are avoiding that entirely.
No.
We're looking at the ASRock B860M Dutch DV. It costs about $125. It has no RGB. It has no dragons. It's ugly.
Ugly is fine. Does it work?
It works perfectly. It has the LGA 1851 socket. It supports DDR5, and it has decent cooling so the CPU won't throttle. That is all you need.
And for power. I always get nervous about cheaping out on the power supply. I don't want to burn my house down.
You are right to be nervous. Never buy a generic unbranded PSU. But you don't need 1,000 watts. We're picking up a 600-watt unit from a reputable brand like EVGA or Corsair, 80-plus bronze certified.
Is 600 watts really enough?
The i3 draws maybe 65 watts. The RTX 5050 draws maybe 115 watts. The whole system is pulling less than 300 watts under full load. A 600-watt unit is actually overkill, but it gives us that safety margin for upgrades later.
Okay, good to know. Now the case. I'm a sucker for aesthetics. I want the glass panel. I want the lights.
And the guide says, frames don't come from RGB lights.
You are killing my vibe
It's
here.
saving your frame rate. You need a mesh front case. We are recommending something like the Deepcool CC560 or a Montec Air. Under $60, the priority is airflow. If you buy a cheap glass case, it turns into a greenhouse. Your parts get hot, they slow down to protect themselves, and your game runs worse.
So mesh front means the fans can actually breathe.
Correct. And those Montec cases usually come with 4 fans pre-installed. That saves you from having to buy extra fans.
That is a pro tip. Now we're tallying this up and it's looking tight, but the guide mentions a few cost-cutting commandments. Where are we shaving off the extra dollars?
Three places. First, cooling. Do not buy a liquid cooler for an i3. It's a 65-watt chip. The little fan that comes free in the box is loud and it's ugly, but it works. Use it. That saves you $80.
Loud and ugly. Check.
Second, the operating system. Don't pay $100 for Windows. Use the free installer from Microsoft. It works forever. You just can't change your desktop wallpaper, and there's a little watermark in the corner. Who cares?
I can live with a watermark for $100.
And third, and this is the big one, assembly. Do not pay a shop $100 or $150 to build this for you. Do it yourself.
See, this is the barrier. I can tell people to buy parts all day, but telling them to put it together, it scares people. It feels like high-stakes Lego, where if you sneeze, you destroy an $800 investment.
It is high-stakes Lego, I won't lie, but the fear is overblown. The connectors only fit one way. You literally cannot plug the PCIe cable into the CPU slot. The shapes are different.
But what about the CPU pins? That's the horror story everyone hears, bending the pins.
That is the one moment you need to be zen. You have to be gentle dropping the CPU into the socket. But seriously, watch a 20-minute YouTube tutorial from someone like Gamers Nexus or Linus Tech Tips. Pause the video as you go. You can do this.
And the feeling of pressing that power button and seeing it post.
It's the best feeling in the world. You built that.
Okay, let's say we've built the reality machine. It's humming away on the desk. Now we need to look at the screen. The guide has a warning here called the pixel rule.
This is where you can ruin the whole build. If you plug this machine into a 1440p monitor or a 4K TV, you are going to have a miserable time. The RTX 5050 is a 1080p card. It just runs out of muscle at higher
We
resolutions.
don't get greedy.
Stick to a 24-inch 1080p IPS monitor.
Why IPS specifically?
Because the alternative is usually a cheap VA panel. VA panels have terrible ghosting. When you turn the camera quickly in GTA, the dark colors just smear across the screen. It looks awful. IPS gives you accurate colors and clear motion.
And refresh rate.
165 hertz is the standard now. You can get these from brands like CoreUE for about 120 bucks. Even if the game's only running at 70 FPS, having a 165 hertz monitor makes the desktop feel smoother.
Okay, moment of truth. We're loaded in Device City. We are standing on Ocean Drive. What are the numbers? What is the reality machine actually giving us?
Based on the early benchmarks using similar engine loads, at 1080p medium settings, with DLSS quality mode enabled, you are looking at a stable 60 to 70 frames per second.
60 to 70. That's actually really good. That's better than the consoles in quality mode.
It is. It's a very smooth, playable experience. The 1% lows, which are the dips when things get hectic, they stay above 45 FPS thanks to that fast i3.
And for other games.
Yeah.
Because we don't just play GTA. What about Call of Duty? Black Ops 7.
That engine is much lighter. On competitive settings, you're hitting over 140 FPS easily.
And what about the system killer? Cyberpunk 2077.
That's the torture test. If you turn on path tracing, which is insane lighting, and set DLSS to performance mode, you can get about 45 FPS. It's heavy and the fan will be screaming, but it's playable.
That is respectable for an $800 box. Now, I have to play the devil's advocate one last time. There is a listener screaming at their phone right now, just buy used. Go on eBay.
The used market gamble.
Right. I can go on eBay right now and find a used RTX 3080 or a Radeon 6800 XT for maybe 350 bucks. Those cards used to cost 800. They have way more raw power than the 5050. Why shouldn't I just buy that?
It's tempting. I get it. The raw rasterization performance on a 3080 is beastly. But here's the reality check. First, power. A 3080 sucks down 320 watts.
Whoa.
That means our 600-watt power supply isn't enough. You need to buy an 850-watt unit. That's another $50.
So the costs are already creeping up.
Second, risk. Those cards are likely 5 or 6 years old. They might have been used in mining rigs, running tubos and filosin in a hot warehouse. The fans are wobbling. If it dies in 3 months, you have no warranty. You are out 350 bucks.
Game over.
And finally, features. The 3080 does not support DLSS 4.0 or FrameGen. So while it has more raw muscle, it lacks the AI crutch that modern games are designed around. In GTA 6, the 5050 might actually feel smoother because of FrameGen, even if the 3080 is technically stronger.
Okay, point taken. Stick to the warranty. Stick to the new architecture. Now, looking at the long game, we build this in 2026. What happens in 2029 when GTA 6 Online gets a massive update and the requirements go up?
No, you don't throw it out. And that's the beauty of the desktop PC. Remember that LGA 1851 socket?
The upgrade path?
Exactly. In 2029, you can go on eBay, buy a used i5-16600K for cheap, and double your CPU power instantly.
And the GPU.
Pop out the 5050, slot in an RTX 6060, your power supply can handle it, your DDR5 RAM is still relevant, you are essentially just replacing the tires on the car, not buying a whole new car.
That's the value proposition right there.
Yeah.
Consoles can't do that.
No, they can't.
So we've crunched the numbers. Total bill comes out to roughly $804. For that, we get a ticket to Vice City, a machine that can handle competitive shooters, and a platform we can upgrade for the next 5 years.
It's an art form, honestly. Building a balanced budget PC is harder than building an unlimited budget one. But this list, this is the golden ticket.
Before we sign off, do you have any final words for the person hovering over the checkout button right now?
Don't hesitate. In the tech market, especially around a major game launch, volatility is real. If you see the RTX 5050 for near MSRP, buy it. If you wait a week, scalpers might drive it up by 50 bucks.
And then the budget is blown.
Exactly. And honestly, enjoy the build, pour yourself a drink, put on some music, and just take your time.
There's something weirdly primal about it, isn't there? Taking a pile of metal and silicon and breathing life into it. Demystifies the magic. It stops being a black box and starts being your machine.
And when you launch the game on a rig you built with your own two hands, the graphics just look a little bit better.
They really do. All right, that's the blueprint. Good luck with the build, and we will see you in Vice City.
Take care, everyone.